This is Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld substituting for Rabbi Elephant. Today's daf is daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. We will be starting with the Mishnah daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. It says the Mishnah Ve'elu Begalchim B'moed Habam Medinas Hayam U'Mebeis HaShivya. These are those that are allowed to take haircuts or to shave. The Gemara will explain what the issues are here. Here the Mishnah is outlining those who are allowed to take haircuts on Chol HaMoed. These will be the exception to the rule, as the average person is not allowed to, as the Gemara will indeed explain. Be'elam Agalchem HaMoed Habam Medinas Hayam Beis HaShivya, someone who returns from an overseas trip and he ends up arriving in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Beis HaShivya, he's released from captivity in the middle of Chol HaMoed. V'hayotzim Beis HaAsurin, who's someone who was held in prison, and suddenly now it's Chol HaMoed. He was in prison before the advent of Yontif. V'hamanuda shehitiru lo chachamim, or someone who was in excommunication that the chachamim released him from his excommunication in the middle of Chol HaMoed. V'chein mishenisha lo chacham v'hutar, someone who had a neder not to take haircuts or to shave, and now he was released from his neder in the middle of Chol HaMoed. V'hanazir v'hamatzara, a Nazirite is someone who takes upon himself a period of time where he's not allowed to drink any wine or have any grape product or produce. But in addition to that, of course, he's not allowed to take haircuts for the term that he's a Nazir. If that term expires in the middle of Chol HaMoed, then that he will be allowed to take haircuts. The Hamitzara, and the Mitzara is someone also who went through a period of being afflicted with Tzaras, and now that affliction time is over. He's declared free from his Tzaras by the Kohen in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So at this point, he also takes a haircut, and he's Ola, as the Bach adds, Ola Mitumaso Taharaso. They go from their state of being, from Mitzorah, who goes from the state of being a Tumah, suddenly he's declared Tahar. He has to bring a set of Karbonos, as we will find in the Gemara. But that occurs in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Again, all these people may take that haircut in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Ve'elu mechapsin b'moed, and these are the people who are allowed to launder in Chol HaMoed. Again, these are exceptions to the rule. Haba medinas hayam, someone who comes from an overseas trip. Omi Beis HaShivya, someone who's released from captivity, held perhaps by enemy combatants. V'hayotzim Beis HaAsurin, someone who's released from prison. Daf Yudalad Amar Aleph, Umanuda Shehitiru Lo Chachamim, it's someone who was in excommunication by the Chachamim of his time, and they released him from his excommunication in Chol HaMoed. V'chein Mishenisha Lo Chacham V'hutar, and someone who was who brought his nether to Hataras Nedarim to be released of his nether in the middle of Chol HaMoed, and until that point he may have taken a nether against taking haircuts. Now he's allowed to in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Then the Mishnah continues, Mitpachos Hayadayim, these are hand towels, or Mitpachos Hasfarim. Now Mitpachos Hasfarim, some say these are large cloths that are used to bind svarim with, books with, or others read as saparim, are barbers. And they, of course, as we ourselves know, a barber always has this kind of a sheet that he wraps around his customer as he's giving the haircut. So those which soil very quickly, those would be allowed, you would be allowed to launder on Chol HaMoed. Of course, the barber, we're talking about a barber who's giving haircuts to those, as outlined in the Mishnah, who are allowed to be taking haircuts during Chol HaMoed. Umitpechos hasfag, these are towels, these are bath towels, which are larger than the hand towels, but again, they're soiled easily and often, and we cannot expect them to stockpile on towels from before Yontif, so one may launder them on Yontif, meaning on Chol HaMoed as well. Hazavin v'hazavos, these are men and women who are tame because of bodily fluid emissions, and in times in the Mishnah, it applied to men as it did to women, and they underwent a period of tumah then to tahara. Vahanidas, and the woman who was in a state of nida due to her menstrual cycle, and now she becomes tahar in the middle of Chol HaMoed, Vahayoldos, or a Yoledes, one who has given birth, also undergoes a time period of Tumah, and now she is in a state of tahara suddenly on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaOlam mitumaso mitumah l'tahara, anyone who is now being elevated or is now finds himself in a new state of going from a state of tuma, of impurity to tahara, to a state of purity, and this all takes place in Chol HaMoed. Hare elu mutarin, these people may take haircuts or may launder. Vishar kol ha'adam isurim, but everybody else is prohibited, as will be explained in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Vishar kol ha'adam my time asurin. Indeed, why is it that other people are prohibited from taking haircuts in Chol HaMoed? What seems to be the problem? It shouldn't be a problem of malacha. There's nothing wrong inherently with cutting, even cutting living, growing items. So what is the problem of taking haircuts during Chol HaMoed for other people? Kidetanan, as we have in our Mishnah in Tainus, Anshe Mishmar v'Anshe Mamed Asurim L'Sape U'L'Chabes. The Anshe Mishmar, as was outlined in the Gemara in Tanis and explained elsewhere, the Anshe Mishmar were those who, a shift of Kohanim, the 24 shifts of Kohanim that had to offer service in the Beis HaMikdash. And while they were on duty, they had to dedicate their time to the service of the Beis HaMikdash. So amongst the thing they were not supposed to be doing at the time was getting involved in anything else other than the service, and therefore not to take haircuts, as will be explained in a moment. The Anshe Mamed were the rest of Klal Yisrael, people, as well as, you know, every carbon had to have its owner by its side to where he was allowed to go within the temple limits. But when the Karbonos Tzibur, like the Karbon Tamid, which is representative of all of the Klal Yisrael, of all the Jewish people, they were accompanied by also a shift of people that were on duty, on call, to be in the vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash, and they would say a certain tefillos, and there was a whole procession, what they did when they were on duty during the offering of the Karbon Tamid. So these people are at that time when they are on duty, they're not allowed to, among other things, they're not allowed to take haircuts or lechabes or to launder. However, v'chamishi mutarin, on Thursdays they may, mifnei kavod Shabbos, because in order to allow themselves to groom properly for Shabbos, so they were allowed to take haircuts and they were allowed to bathe. But otherwise they were not. Now, what was the problem? Now, Friday, this wasn't done, as Rashi explains, because people were just busy getting ready for Shabbos. They didn't really have time necessarily to prepare themselves and groom themselves properly, so they were allowed to do this on Thursday. Now, what was the problem then in these people taking haircuts or laundering? V'amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Elazar, my tama, what was the problem? This prohibition, kidei shlo yikantzul mishmorasan kishehein menuvalin, that they should not enter their shift, their time on duty. They should not begin to enter that process when they are unkempt. So if we would allow them to take haircuts during duty time, then they would save it for that time, and meanwhile they would enter their shift while they were unkempt and ungroomed. So therefore the Chachamim prohibited taking haircuts at that time to make sure that they did groom themselves properly in advance of their shift. So that is as it applies to Maimar and Mishmar. Hachinami here too, by Chol HaMoed, Kedei Shelo Yikantzu L'Regel Kishehein Menuvalim. We don't want the average fellow to come into Yontif. He's all busy here of Yontif. He says, you know what, I'll take my shave and I'll bathe, do what I have to do my laundry. I'll do that. I'll save it for Chol HaMoed. So therefore, in order not to enter the first day's Yontif when we were in an unkempt stage, the Chachamim said that they prohibited anybody from taking haircuts, most of people taking haircuts during Chol HaMoed, and therefore that would assure that people have to take care of themselves, their proper grooming from before Yontif. Now, this reasoning here, Shalai Yikantzu L'Regel Kishehein Menuvalim, of course opens up a whole discussion. What about nowadays? Nowadays, we are accustomed to shaving every day, or just about every day. And so if we don't shave in the middle of Chol HaMoed, we're going to be unkempt during Chol HaMoed. Certainly we'll be looking unkempt and disheveled by the time the second day Yontif appears, whether it's Sukkot or Pesach. And so this discussion about nowadays already has its roots in the Torah, much although the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch still did not make provisions for us to shave. Later times, the Nodeb Yehuda began to discuss this in some of his tshuvas, and he began to entertain the idea of people today who are already in his time. People were shaving just about on a daily basis. It was done commonly. So the Nodeb Yehuda began to explore that, and he didn't seem to have a great deal of antagonism toward that, though he was not endorsing of the idea. Rav Moshe Zatzal, in tshuvas that he, in a few tshuvas that he has on this, and Rav Moshe actually began to develop this idea that perhaps indeed we may shave today. And because of the fact that we want people to be looking properly groomed during the course of Yontif. And during the course of the second days, they should be prepared well in the second days for Yontif as well. Further than that, however, Rav Moshe was not necessarily encouraging, but he said it would be allowed in cases where necessary. I would say yet further than that was Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik Zatzal, who he felt that more so, that today in actuality would be a mitzvah to shave during Chol HaMoed. Of course, we're not talking about haircuts, but shaving during Chol HaMoed, since we are accustomed to shaving on a daily basis. So therefore, Rav Soloveitchik felt that one should actually see to it that he does shave. Some of his Talmidim have followed this, others perhaps not, but that was his opinion. Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa does quote, or put it this way, he refers to Rav Moshe's tshuva without quite endorsing the idea of shaving during Chol HaMoed, but he does inform the reader of the possibility that it may be mutter, and he refers the reader to Rav Moshe's tshuva. Let's continue in the Gemara. By Rav Zeira, Avdalo Aveda Erev HaRegel. If someone is very busy looking for a lost item Erev Yontif, and his whole day is occupied looking for that lost item. So we now know that he had really no time Erev Yontif to take care of his grooming needs. So do we say Kivin the honest mutter? Do we say that since he was on circumstances beyond his control, so now that he greets Yontif and he's unkempt, we say, okay, he may indeed take a haircut on Chol HaMoed because he did not have the opportunity to do so Erev Yontif, or Dilma. Kivan de lo muchach milsa, since it's not, we can't obviously say, we can't tell by, it's just by citing this person, we cannot tell obviously that he was looking for something. All we know is we see in Chol HaMoed, suddenly he's shaving and people begin to wonder, so perhaps we should not let him. So Kivan de lo muchach milsa, we should not let him. Amar Abaya, so Abaya said, well, Rabbaya's feeling is that indeed we should not let him shave during Chol HaMoed or take haircuts. Why? Yomri, because Rabbi quotes from a source elsewhere in Maran Psachim, Yomor kol ha-srikin asurin and srike baitas mutarin. The Gemara in Psachim discusses the fact that they used to make matzahs, and the matzahs at one point were made with a design, either a floral or perhaps a lettering design, but more likely some kind of floral pattern on top of the matzahs. The Chachamim prohibited and forbade such matzahs because they were afraid that while the baker is busy putting on that extra design on top, meanwhile the matzah underneath may become chametz. But yet there was this family of baitus who came up with this idea to put an imprint, to print it in and forge the lettering or the design into the matzah. And therefore, it would not be a problem because we don't have to wait for the baker or the artisan to be busy on top. You forge it in right away, and the imprint will be there, and the lettering can be there without having to worry or be concerned about the fact that the matzah may become chametz. So maybe the people of Baitus, stemming from Baitus, should be allowed to do their imprints on Pesach with the matzahs. So, however, the Gemara says at that point, no. Why? Because Yom Rukol HaSrikin Asurin, Sriki Baitus Mutarim. People will understand why is all the other Sriki and all the other matzah bakers, they're not allowed to have any designs, and Baitus isn't. The average person won't understand the line of difference between the imprint and between putting these patterns on top of the matzahs. So, for that reason, this person who lost his item, we don't want to make a difference between him and anybody else. And we remain consistent in saying that nobody should be able to take haircuts, unless they have the extenuating circumstances as mentioned in the Mishnah. Frati Gemara, so Gemara asks, L'tameh chod amar Rav Asi amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi says in the name of Rav Yochanan, kol mi she'en le'elo chaluk echad. If someone only has one robe, one cloak, so mutar lechapsa b'chol hamoed, he's allowed to launder that on chol hamoed. So why? Because we say, listen, this fellow has no choice. He only has this one cloak that he wears. So if you're not going to let him wash it on chol hamoed, so then he'll be out of luck. He'll have nothing to wear. So we do allow him to wash it during chol hamoed. So why don't we say there, Hasam Nami Yomer Kol HaSrikin Asurin Sriki Baitus Mutarim? Why aren't we concerned there by this fellow? People are not going to know that he's poor or he's wealthy, that he has one clothing or more than one article of clothing. Why don't we say we're sorry, we can't distinguish between those who have one set of clothing or more than that? So Ha'it Ma'alam Amar Mar Baravashi. The reason we're here is because here is a Zuro Mochia Chalav. A zura was his, in Yiddish we refer to it as a gartel, but it was his belt. And as Rashi explains, that the person who had one article of clothing, so he would have, now he'd be left in his undergarments as he's doing the wash, as he's washing his outer garment. So he would have to now tie his undergarment together with his belt, because otherwise he'd be fully exposed. And so he would tie his undergarments with his belt while he's washing. So now that's as though an announcement that he has only one set of outer clothing, and therefore it's obvious to all that he's in a different situation than most people. Others understand Ezura Mechia Cholav, that he keeps, when a person who has only one set of clothing, he's careful to remove the belt from the outer clothing, and he keeps it on the side, because people kept their belts attached to the clothing, but he who had only one article of clothing, and he didn't want that belt to get ruined in the wash with it, he would be sure to pull off the belt on the side. So that let people know that he was, unfortunately, he was in a position of having only one article of clothing. An important Tosfos, it's the third Tosfos on the Daf, She'en Lo'ala Chaluk Echad, Tosfos towards the bottom. Tosfos has certain questions on this little piece of Gemara here, but Tosfos on the bottom makes an important point, and to which he says, Yerushalmi Omer, he quotes Yerushalmi, Bigdei Ketanim, the begotten of small children, Mutar L'Chapsam B'Moed, you're allowed to launder them in Chol HaMoed. Why? The Nikarim She'en Ketanim. People see that these are little toddlers' clothing. It's very obvious by their size. And people know that little toddlers and little infants tend to soil their clothing easily. Is you have to treat that as though you have only one article of clothing. In other words, since a baby has to be changed all that often, no matter how well stockpiled you may be before Yontif, it's not enough. And it's obvious that these are children's clothing, and therefore you may launder children's clothing on Yontif, and that is indeed the halacha. Back to the Gemara. Rav Ashi Masni. Rav Ashi says as follows, Boy Rav Zera, he said Rav Zera asked the following question. Uman she'avdolo aveda, a professional. Now, according to Rashi, we're talking about a professional barber. People are very busy in the earlier part of Erev Yontif, and they're busy getting haircuts, and now he lost something, so everybody's going to see, because he was the most popular person in town that day, and everybody's going to see he's busy all over the place, giving up what otherwise could be a lucrative day, and he's giving up that time to look for his lost article, Erev HaRegel, on Erev Yontif, Mahu, what do we say about such a fellow? Kivin the Uman, who, since otherwise he'd be engaged in his profession, now people see he's busy looking for things, Muchacha Milsa, now it's clear that he is, that he's someone who is missing his object, and everybody will know that, and therefore when it comes to Yontif, we should allow him to groom himself and to take haircuts, because it's obvious to everybody he had no time, Erev Yontif. But since, on the other hand, inherently, when we look upon this person in the course of Yontif, there's no announcement on him that he was busy looking from before Yontif. So it's not clear to everyone what he was engaged in before Yontif. So therefore, perhaps he should not be allowed to groom himself or take haircuts on Yontif. And the Gemara concludes with Teiku. It indeed remains in question. And there is a discussion amongst the earlier poskim in the Beis Yosef as to whether we are machmir or mekel with such a person. And many of the Rishonim feel clearly we should be mekel. This whole issue is a suffix midrabanan. The whole issue is only the rabbanan about not taking haircuts in Chol HaMoed. And therefore, since the Gemara left this in doubt, we say the rule always is suffix midrabanan lakula. If the issue is of a rabbinic origin, we always go take the more lenient position in case of doubt. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss the case of Medinas Hayam. That's one of those categories of people who is allowed to take haircuts of someone traveling, coming from an overseas trip. Says the Gemara, Masnisan de lo Rav Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rav Yehuda. The Tanya, why? Rav Yehuda Omer Haba Medinas Hayam. Someone who's coming from overseas, lo yigaleach, he is not allowed to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed. Why? Mifnei sheyatzim b'shelo b'rishus. He went out, he was unauthorized. His trip was an unauthorized trip. And so who told you to take that trip where it's going to arrive right exactly before Yom Tov, in the middle of Chol HaMoed? Who authorized such a trip? So therefore Rabbi Yehuda said such a person cannot take a haircut in the middle of Chol HaMoed, which seems to run contrary to our Mishnah. However, Rava says, explains as follows. Amar Rava, lo shud, if he's went out for a casual, for a pleasure trip, so then divrei hakol asur. Everybody agrees if his trip was casual and it was not mandatory in any way, it was an elective trip that he took for his own pleasure, and now he arrives in the middle of Yontif. Everybody agrees that it would not be permissible for him to take haircuts on Yontif. Who asked you to go on such a trip? However, the Mazonos, if it was out, he was going out, this was a business trip, out to provide, literally to provide food, but to provide sustenance for his family, to go out for business, and that forced him to take such a trip. Divrei HaKol Mutar. Everybody holds that it is permissible when you land in the middle of Yontif to take a haircut, because your situation was one which was forced upon you. Lo nechlaku, says Rava, the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and our mission is ela laharvicha laharvicha. In a case where it's already a person who is financially well off, but he wants to increase his wealth, so it is a business trip. But it's not something that's vital to his need, to his livelihood. He could live without it, but he's going out there to make even more business. So is that considered brishus or not brishus? Was it authorized or not? Marmidami le kilashut. The Rav Yehuda says, I'm sorry, such a person is kilashut, that's considered a casual trip and a pleasure trip. You didn't have to do it. You could have gotten along fine without it. But the Chachamim will say that no, this is mezonos. As long as it's for business reasons, he had permission to do so, because to increase your wealth is also something that's quite understandable. Every businessman never wants to rest on his laurels. Always is looking to make more business. So it's understandable that he took such a trip. That would be considered birishus, authorized. Meisvei. So we asked the following question on Rava's statement. Amar Rabbi, Nirin Divi Rabbi Yehuda Kishiyatza Shalom Rishus. Rabbi says, it appears to me, or I agree with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who is stringent and who does not permit him to take a haircut, this seafarer, Kishiyatza Shalom Rishus, when he left without permission, the Divrei Chachamim kishiyatzeh rishus, but the halacha should be like the Chachamim when he goes with rishus. So it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda is saying we will paskin like Rabbi is saying we will paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it's an unauthorized trip. We will paskin like the Chachamim when it's an authorized trip. So now we have to examine this statement. My shelo b'rishus. What does it mean that he went out shelo b'rishus without authorization? If you're going to say that it meant that he took a pleasure trip, va'amras, you just previously said divrei hakol aser. You yourself said, Rava, you yourself said that everybody agrees that it's aser. If it's a pleasure trip, both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim agree. Ella lemazonos, so it must be, I guess, he's talking about a trip that you needed for business purposes. Va'amras divrei hakol mutter, but you said in that set of circumstances, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda agree that you're allowed to take haircuts. Ella pshita, so what must be the situation that we're talking about here, and where is the point of difference according to Rabbi? Ella pshita lehavicha. That it must be talking about a place where the situation where we have this well-to-do businessman that's going to increase his volume of business, and that's why he took the trip. And that must be where the machloikis is between Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham, according to Rabbi. Well, if that's the case, Emes Seifa, let's take a look at the end of this Mishnah. Nirin divrei chachamim kishiyatze berishus. Rabbi said it appears to be the chachamim, I seem to agree with the chachamim, when he goes out with rishus. So let's examine this. My brishus, if you're going to say that is for mazonos, for business reasons, ha'amas divya kol mutter. You yourself said that everybody would agree. You, Rava, said everybody agreed that it's permissible to take haircuts. Ve'ela, so what must it be? Leharvicha. We must be forced to say that it is laharvicha. It must be that he's going out to increase his volume of business, a businessman who's already successful in business, but who's going out to increase his volume of business. How can this be? Va'amris divrei nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda baha. But you've already said that it appears to you to be like Rabbi Yehuda. You agree with Rabbi Yehuda in such a situation. So how could you say that this would be the point of machlokes? So Rava, so the Gemara says, Rava, your statement is not consistent with what Rebbe has just taught us. To which the Gemara responds, Hachi Kamar. This is how you have to understand Rebbe's statement according to Rava. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda, not that I am saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda lirabbanan. That the Rabbi Yehuda's words would appeal to the Rabbanon, they would agree to the Rabbanon, kishiyatza shelo b'rishus, when he's going out without rishus, unauthorized, umay nihu, and what is that situation, lashut, if he's going out for a casual, for a pleasure trip. Shafilu chachamim, lo nechlekol av, the chacham said, you know what, if you're going out to take a pleasure trip, we agree that it's aser. Because they only disagree with him in the case of Harvicha, where this businessman is going to increase his volume of business. Aval Lashut, but if he's going to go out to business, for pleasure, modula, certainly the Chachamah will agree to Rabbi Yehuda that he's not allowed to take haircuts when he comes back Chalamayit. And on the other hand, Venivre Divrei Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan the words of the Rabbana will appeal to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, he'll agree to them kishiyatze b'rishus when they go out for rishus. And what is that definition of rishus? Umay nihu lemizonos. When he's authorized, that's when he has to provide the basic sustenance for his family. Shafil Rabbi Yehuda lo nachlak aleihem el ravicha. Even Rabbi Yehuda will not disagree with them except for in the only point of contention that Rabbi Yehuda will find with the Chachamim is on this wealthy businessman who goes out to gain even more business. Aval mazonos, but if it's strictly for the sake of livelihood, moda lohu, he indeed is moda to them that he agrees that that it would be acceptable for him to take the haircuts. So what we are saying is that in the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda will indeed agree in one extreme where it's lashut, that it's just for a pleasure purpose, they will all agree that it is. you're allowed to take, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to take the haircut because no one authorized you to take such a trip which would arrive in the middle of Yontif. On the other hand, if it was Mizonos, everybody would agree that just out for the sustenance of your family that it was authorized, therefore you may take haircuts in the middle of Chol HaMoed when you arrive. The point of contention is Lahavicha for this businessman who's out to make even greater and bigger deals by going overseas. Rav Yehuda felt that that's considered unauthorized. Shelo Bereshus Lacham felt that is considered authorized. It is considered Bereshus. Continues the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said as follows. Katna Nala B'Moed, a katan that's born on Chol HaMoed, Mutal Galeach B'Moed, he's allowed to take haircuts in Chol HaMoed. The infant's born in the middle of Yontif. If it's here, as Rashi explains, sometimes babies are born very hairy, and you can cut whatever hair is necessary so that it doesn't bother the baby on Yontif. Why? She'en lecha beis asurin, God l'mizeh. Because you have no greater place of captivity than the fetus in the mother's womb. Where could he have gone from before Yontif? So naturally, this is considered as though he was held against his will, and now when he comes during Yontif, he could certainly have his hair cut. So the Gemara is medayek from here. The inference the Gemara gets is b'moyed in. Rav Shmuel's statement is that only if he was born in the middle of Yontif, in the middle of Moed. Me'ikar aloy, but had he been born, this baby been born from before Yontif, it would not have been acceptable. So Masiv Rav Pinchas, I mean, he would not have been able to take a haircut. Master Rav Pinchas, asked him the following: Kol elu she'amru mutal galeach b'moed, all those of whom we said that they're allowed to take haircuts b'moed, mutal galeach b'mei avelo, you're allowed to take haircuts as well in the middle of avelos. Now there's a symmetry between Chol HaMoed and between avelos. Whoever can take a haircut in Chol HaMoed, the same heter will extend to someone who, in the middle of his avelos, if he had all the extenuating circumstances as outlined in our Mishnah. So the inference is, ha asur legaleach b'moed, for those who are not allowed to take haircuts in Moed, asur legaleach b'mei avelo. He as well may not take haircuts during his time period of Evlo than the time period of his Avelis. Now, V'i Amras on Amad Beis, V'i Amras Katan Ispe Plukta, if you're now going to say that indeed there's a line of differentiation in a Katan and an infant between before and after Yontif, Nimseis Avelis Noheges Bekatan. It turns out and then Avelis will apply to a Katan as well. Because since we are grouping the Avel together with the with Chol HaMoed, and we seem to be saying that there, and according to Shmuel, Shmuel's implication is that he's not allowed to take a haircut if he was born from before Yontif, so that it seems apparently that the Katan is included, whatever prohibitions apply to an Avel apply to a Katan. By the fact that you're saying that he may not take a haircut from before Yontif, it implies that he must be similar to the Avelis, to the Avelis consistently. That implies that that Avelis does apply to a Katan. V'hatanya, how could this be? We have a brisa which teaches us, Mekarin l'katan mifnei agmas nefesh. We only tear the chalila if a katan, if a minor is in a situation of sitting shiv, he loses a parent or a sibling, so we tear kriya on them, but not because the chayav to actually have kriya, but only mifnei agmas nefesh, to arouse the people into the awful plight of this child or to the awful plight of the situation, to arouse their sorrow, to arouse their bechi, to arouse their crying. So, but it's only for that purpose. But really, a katan is not obligated in avelus. So how is it that you imply here that a katan is obligated in avelus? Rabbi Kiva Egan, the Gilyon Hashas, deals with the question that how could the Gemara even entertain this thought of a katan being obligated in avelus? Because other Rabbi Kiva, the katan lo shayach avelus. The katan is not shaykh to avelus altogether. There shouldn't have even been the thought of the Gemara to include him in the klal of Avelis. And so he's, Rabbi Akiva Eger has difficulty. Why did the Gemara seem to want to incorporate the Avel into the discussion in this Mishnah? And Avel, by definition, doesn't sense Avelis, and he's not included in the whole Parsha of Avelis, and he doesn't understand why the Gemara had such a Havamina. And he leaves this question with Tzorech L'Ayin in Gadol. Leaves it as a question. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says as follows: So to answer this question, Amar Rav Ashi, Mikatani Ha'asurin. Did that Raisa say these are the ones that, Ha'asurin? Everybody that we're outlining here is Asur, and the implication would be anybody who falls into this to the fold of the prohibition on Chol HaMoed. Everybody is equal into all their halachas, which would include a katan. No, dilma yesh mehen aser, the yesh mehen mutter. Maybe some are indeed mutter and some are aser, because the statement was kol elu she'amra mutter legaleach b'mayed mutter legaleach b'mei avelu. Who of whom it is said that it's mutter to shave on Chol HaMoed, it is mutter to shave on avelus as well. But the statement was not a definite statement that all who are Asur in Chol HaMoed are Asur in Avelis. The statement was really telling you whoever is included in that klal is included in the klal of Avelis as well, but perhaps there is such a situation, such as a cotton, that is not to be bound by the laws of Avelis as he might be to the laws of Chol HaMoed. Amemon. The Itamer Rav Shisha Bereder of Idi Masni Hachi. They learned this, the Ramemer and others say it was Rav Shisha Bereder of Idi, learned a bit differently. It's like an Ikedi Amri. Hachi Amar Shmuel, this is how they understood Shmuel's statement. Katan Mutal Legal Chalamayid. Katan, you're allowed to shave in Chalamayid. And here, this is the difference. Lo Shna Nolid Bamayid, Lo Shna Nolid Meikara, whether he was born during the course of Yontif or before Yontif. In either case, you are allowed to have a katan shaved for Yontif, in the middle of Yontif, whether or not he was born before or during Yontif. So, in which case, Amar Rav Pinchas says, now af ananai tamnina, now this price will work as a proof to this statement. Because we say, kol elisha amru mutal lagalech memoed, mutal lagalech memeevlo. Whoever is allowed to, the Brice has said, whoever is allowed to shave in Chol HaMoed is mutter as well during the times of Avelis. Ha asurun legaleach b'moed, asurun legaleach b'meyevlo. And whoever is prohibited from shaving in the middle of Chol HaMoed is prohibited from shaving during his time of Avelis. So as follows, e amas katan asur, if you're going to say a katan who was born before Yontif may not take haircuts, nimtza Avelis no hegis b'katan, then it's going to come out that a katan will be noig avelus. You're going to have the halachas of a avelus applying to a katan. In other words, it's good that you didn't say that. It's good that you did not say that the katan we have to be concerned whether he was born before Yontif. Because if you are concerned before Yontif, it would imply that he is to be consistent with the laws of avelus. In which case, the implication would be that avelus applies to a katan. But we know that can't be. Vitanya, and yet the Brisa taught us Makaron Lakatan with Neagmas Nefesh. The only reason why I take Kriya for a Katan, as stated above, is because to arouse the sorrow and the emotion of the surrounding people. So, but otherwise, the Katan is not obligated in Avelis. So, therefore, it's good your implication that a Katan is different than an Avel, and that implication is left with us because you said that a child born even before Yontif may take a haircut in the middle of Chol HaMoed, which differentiates him from the Avel. All right. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi said, now this is in the converse of what we learned before, Mikatani Ha'asurin. No, this is no riot, no proof. Mikatani Ha'asurin. No, who said that these, we're limiting it to these specific people that are Asur? Dilma Yesh Behen, and Yesh Mehen Asur, Yesh Mehen Mutter. Maybe there are some that are permissible to shave before and some that are not permissible to shave. So it would not be exclusive of the katan. So your whole implication that katan is exclusive is not so clear, because the if you go through the language of the of that brisa, it's not so clear that the brisa meant to exclude anybody who has a heter before. So therefore, again, this in the reverse of before, maybe this brisa is not such a great proof to Shmuel's statement. Now the Gemara continues on another theme. Avel eino noeg aveluso beregel. Altogether, an avel does not have to practice his avelus during the times of Yontif. How do we know this? Now this is something that's commonly known to us, but what's the source? Shenema v'samachta v'chagecha. The pasuk tells us, pasuk in Devarim, v'samachta v'chagecha ata avincha v'itecha v'avdecha v'amosecha v'halevi v'hager v'hayasam v'amona asher b'sharecha. So we know that we have to rejoice. So it's as follows. Iavelus de meikara, who, if the avelus set in other words, the loss took place from before Yontif, so asi asei de rabim, vadachi asei de yachid, can the asei, the mitzvah asei, the positive mitzvah of the samachta v'chagecha, which applies to all of Chal Yisrael, can that come along, and that does come along, vadachi asei de yachid, and that overrides the asei of the yachid, the positive commandment, for an avel, to practice his avelus. Rashi quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Diksiv avel yachid asilach. Pasuk in Yirmiyah refers to the fact that a person, the individual, has to practice his mourning through a state of avelus. Now, by virtue of the fact that we apply here that it's the samach v'chagecha is menatara, it's not so clear that this necessarily means the araisa, because we do know that the halachas of avelus are actually not minatara. Tosfos discusses this, and Tosfos feels that the samachta v'chagecha nowadays is certainly not the araisa, because the only really simplest hachag that we have is through the karbana shlomim that we used to offer, which no longer applies to us, unfortunately. Even if this pasuk was v'samachta v'chagecha, most of the Rishonim understand it's an asmachta v'alma, it's not an outright pasuk to teach us that it's midiraisa, but it's for the concept. And the concept is a public avelus versus a private avelus. Sorry, a public simcha versus a private avelus. So, and if it's an avelus that's set in, the loss took place in the middle of Yontif, lo asi asei the yachid v'dachi asei the rabin. So the asei of the yachid, his asei to sit in mourning of avelus, cannot override the asei the rabin, the public expression of a samachta b'chagecha. So that's how we know that an avelus does not apply, certainly not in a public forum, does not apply during the course of Yontif. In the private practice and in private matters, whether an avel does have to sit, most poskim feel that he does, but that's an issue that has to be discussed with the poskim. But in the public arena, certainly avelus is not practiced, and therefore avelim do not sit shiva. Now the Gemara continues to the next theme. Menuda mahu shiinug niduyev v'regel. What a menuda, someone who's in excommunication. So we know that someone who's released from excommunication now is allowed to take haircuts. But what happens if he's in the middle of his excommunication? He's in the middle of the term. Mahu sheyinhag nidui baregel. Does the full force of the excommunication apply to him even during the course of Yontif? Rav Yosef says, Tashma, danin dini nefashas, v'dinei makos, v'dinei mamonos. Besdin presides during the course of Yontif, whether it's matters of capital offenses and corporal punishment, the dine makos, or issues of someone deserving makos of lashes for an avera that he may have done, the dine mamonos and monetary matters, Besdin will preside over these issues. The loitzayas dina, and if a person refuses to present himself before the Besdin during this time, Mishamtina lay, we put him in chayrim. We put him in excommunication. If you're going to entertain the thought that his excommunication is not practiced, is not in effect during the time of regel, so now mishumas v'asi meikara. If a person was already in chayrim from before Yontif, Asi regel dachile. So now you're going to say that the yantif should come along and it overrides the force of his avelus during the course of yantif. So hasta mishamtina lei. So how could we have this brisa which tells us this mishnah which tells us that bezin presides, and if someone doesn't listen to bezin, we'll put him in chayrim. We'll excommunicate him right then and there during the course of yantif. How could we put him in chayrim? If we just, or nidui, if you're going to hold that even from an existing nidui is not enforced during yantif, so we must hold that that nidui indeed is in force as and is in place during the course of yantif. So hashdim mishamtina le'anan, we put him in nidui. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya deflects this. He says, well, who says v'dilma le'inuye bedine? Maybe we're not really talking. We don't. Beis Din, when they talk about presiding over all these cases, and they talk about, and the Mishnah talks about presiding these cases, the corporal cases and the monetary cases, and when it talks about putting a person in chayrim, maybe it doesn't really mean that they're actually going to impose these penalties at that point. Maybe it only means that they were going to examine and deliberate over his case. Because if you don't feel that way, if you don't say that, take a look at that part, which is the tiktani, that part which it says that we preside over corporal cases. Could it be that we're going to execute a person on yantif? You're going to prevent the person from rejoicing on yantif, not the person, but bezdin. Will be prevented from rejoicing on yantif properly. How? The Tanya Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, Minayin le Sanhedrin, Shehargu es hanefesh. Sanhedrin, who was forced to execute a guilty party, she'ein, so during that entire course of that day, she'ein tamin kol asayom, that they're not supposed to take as a show of grief that and sorrow that they were forced to execute someone. Bezin would have to spend the day fasting. How do we know this? Talmud Lomar lo soch l'adam, that you're not supposed to eat upon blood, in which we take this homiletically to mean that while if someone is is engaged in the process of taking someone's blood, even though it may have been a guilty party, lo sochlu. This is really implied to karbonos, but the homiletically we're applying it to a bezin as well. So therefore, that's how we know that a bezin would not eat the whole day, so you're depriving them of yantif. So what did simchas yantif? So what did it mean that they preside in these cases? El liyuna bedina. So it almost means that they deliberated in these cases, but not that they actually executed during the course of yantif. So achinami liyuna bedina. So that's as well. Maybe that's what meaning that we didn't actually wouldn't put a person in excommunication, but we deliberate about his situation or his case. So the Gemara says, well, that's a little hard to say that. Amalei imke nimtzeis ma'anes dina. Then it turns out that your ma'anes dina means that you're inflicting him by delaying the case, and that's very torturous for a person to undergo, and that we know we're not supposed to do. So the Gemara says, asu mitzafra will know, because we ella. Rashi adds the word ella, and so does the Bach. Ella, what does take place? El asu mitzafra ma'ane bedina. They can get up in the morning and deliberate in the case. Va'ayle va'achli and v'shasu. And they can get up and they can drink and eat and drink. This is on yantif now. And they can eat and drink. Of course, they didn't drink wine because you're not allowed to preside over a judgment when a person has drunk wine. Kuli is the v'shasu kuliyama. And they can eat and drink the whole day. V'hada asu b'shkiyas achama, then before the sun set, the Gamrin and Ladine, and then they would come down with the final verdict, the Kotlo day, and they could execute him towards the end of the day. So you could have a situation where really they could preside and execute a person, and yet they would have their Simchas Yantif if they pushed off the final deliberations and execution towards the end of the day. So therefore, we don't have any clear rendering in the question of whether this Menuda his Nidui is valid throughout the Yantif or not. So Amar Abaya. Abaya tries a different line of reasoning. Tashma, we have in our Mishnah, Menuda Shehitiru L'Chachamim. Our Mishnah says that a Menuda that the Chachamim released him of his excommunication. So that would apply, that. So Abaya takes that to imply that, generally speaking, they were released from their nidui, from the state of excommunication, when it came to Yontif, and therefore you see that as a rule, the excommunication was not in effect during the course of Yontif. Amar Rava, Rava says, no, you've got it wrong. Mikatani shehiti ruhu chachamim. Does it say shehiti ruhu chachamim, that which is a broader expression of that the chum relaxed the excommunication that would apply to everybody? No, shehitiru lo chacham mikatani. The Mishnah says shehitiru lo, it's exclusive to him. Why? The azalu faisi lebaldina. We're probably talking about a case where this fellow went to the litigant or his antagonist, va'asi, or the person who has a claim against him, va'asi kamei the rabbana, and he appealed his case before the rabbana and appeased his antagonist, v'sharula v'sharulei. And the Chachamim allowed him, they released him of his excommunication. So, but as a rule, perhaps, says Rava, a person was not released of excommunication unless he made the effort to go before the Chachamim. And so this, too, is left as a question. Continues the Gemara, Mitzara Maushi Inik Tzaraso Beregel. A Mitzara, one who is afflicted with Tzaras, which is loosely, very loosely defined as leprosy, but we'll leave that for our purposes here. Maushi Yanik Tzaras Beregel. Does all the laws of leprosy and the tumah of leprosy, let's keep to the word saras because leprosy is an inaccurate definition, but does the laws of tumah of saras apply in regel or not? Amar Abaya, by says Tashima v'hanazir, part of our Mishnah says v'hanaz v'hamitzara olam mitumas l'tahara. The naz and the mitzara who go out from being a state of tumah to a state of tahara, so that's they are allowed to shave or take haircuts on Chalamoid, habi mei tumasai nahig. So, but that implies that's only once they are stepping into a state of tahara. But had they remained tame, they would have remained in the state of tuma, and with all its implications, they would have remained tame throughout the yontif. So the Gemara says, no, lami bayakama. Perhaps we can understand this differently. Lami bayakama. Lo mi bayi mei tumasai. The lai nahig. The certainly not only in the case in his time of tumah do we say that it's not practiced aval l'taharase, but perhaps the l'taharase nigzah shema yishib b'karbanasav. But I might have thought that when he's tahar, maybe we'd say no, you're not allowed to enter a state of tahara. We don't allow you to enter a state of tahara because perhaps you're going to delay your karbanas, till towards the end of yontif, because a mitzara towards the end of his term has to bring a set of karbanas. So we might be concerned that a person is in the middle of chalamayit, he has to bring karbanas, and that karban cannot be brought in yontif. We're afraid if we're going to let him bring his karbanas during the course of chalamayit, a person naturally procrastinates and he may bring it on yontif. And on yontif, a person is not allowed to bring such a carbon. It's only a carbonist tzibur allowed to be abroad, or a carbon shlamin, but not this private carbon. I would have thought perhaps we would not let him enter a state of tahara, kamash malam. Maybe that's what the mission is teaching us, that's the chiddush, we don't have the gezerah, we don't apply this gezerah, and he's allowed to bring his carbon, but perhaps indeed, otherwise, had he not stepped out of the category of tahara, he would have remained tame even in the course of chalamayit. Amar Rava, Tashma, v'hatzarua. We have an extra word, v'hatzarua. The pasuk here in Vayikra, v'hatzarua shebo hanega, that is superfluous because we've been talking about mitzara all along. So why do we have this extra word, mitzara? L'rabas kohen gadol. This comes to include what type of mitzara, special type of mitzara, kohen gadol. Now, v'hakohen gadol l'kol hashana keregel l'kol yamadami. A kohen gadol throughout the rest of the year is considered as though the yontif for like anybody else. What do we mean by that? A kohen gadol is always in a state of being yontif. What do we mean by that? The tanan kohen gadol. A kohen gadol is different than all others. Makriv onen, he's makriv even in a state of aninus, even in the day of his very first day of the loss of a relative, which normally a person's onen is part of from all mitzvahs. Excuse from all mitzvahs, but the kohen gadol, he offers his karbanos, he's not interrupted by his personal state of aninus of his loss. Ve'eno ochel, and he does not eat as an avel would. Now, So Shema Mina, but Shema Mina, nonetheless, we know from this, we just finished said about Tzurua, the Rabbis Kohen Gadol, that even a Kohen Gadol is affected by Tzaras. So even though a Kohen Gadol never has, is always treated like it's a Yantif, we look at a Kohen Gadol as though he's, consider him like a walking Yantif. Nonetheless, Tzaras, the laws of Tzaras apply to him. Therefore, we see from here conclusively that Tzaras does apply on Yantif. Shema Mina. Then the Gemara, the final line on the Gemara, Avel asur b'tisparas, and Avel may not take haircuts. Midikamal Rahman l'bnei Aaron, as the sons of Aaron were told, Elazar v'Isamar, Rasheichem al tifro, and upon the loss of their brothers Nadav and Avihu, Rasheichem al tifro, make sure that your hair does not remain unshorn. In other words, they were told, go out and take haircuts. And then they were in a state of avelus mechlal. This seems to imply the kuliyama asur. Everybody else is prohibited from taking haircuts in the state of avelus.